We are recording.
All right. Good evening and welcome. I'm John Sheehan, President of the Delaware State Board of Education. I call the April 16th regular meeting to order. It is 5:01 p.m. This meeting is open to the public in the Townsend Building and electronically via Zoom. The State Board of Education published the public meeting notice and meeting information on April 9th on the state public meeting calendar website. Thank you for your patience if we run into any technology issues as we simultaneously conduct this meeting in person and electronically. Today's agenda contains two opportunities for public comment. There's time allotted for public comment on regulations and then for general public comment near the end of the meeting. Sign-up sheets are available on the table by the door. If you did not previously sign up to provide public comment by email and are logged in through the meeting URL, please type your name, organization, and comment topic in the chat box. Now, if you have joined through the call-in option and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in online through the meeting URL. As required by statute, this meeting is recorded and the recording will be available on our webpage within 7 business days of this meeting. When voting on items for action, I will ask all those in favor say aye, and we will only do a roll call if there is a dissent. Also, as a reminder, when speaking or making a motion, please state your name. We will move on to a roll call of the State Board of Education members. Before we take roll this evening, I am pleased to introduce two newly appointed board members, Dr. Michelle Marinucci and Reverend Tim Banks. We will do a more formal introduction and turn things over to them to introduce themselves in just a moment. But first, Ms. Smith, please do a roll call of the state board members.
Yes, sir. Reverend Banks.
Here. Present.
Dr. Griffin.
Present.
Mr. Gunter.
Present.
Dr. Marinucci.
Present.
Mr. Sheehan.
Present.
Mr. Simmons.
Present.
Ms. Stevens. Dr. Szabo.
Present.
You have quorum.
All right, we have a quorum. I will note that we also have the board's executive secretary, Secretary of Education, Cindy Martin, Deputy Attorney General Alex Corbin, I believe is on the Zoom, and State Board Executive Director Kathleen Smith is also participating in today's meeting. We'll move on to item C, approval of the agenda. The board's agenda was posted on April 9th. Ms. Smith, are there any changes to the agenda?
No, sir.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting as presented?
Simmons, so move.
Motion by Mr. Simmons, second by Dr. Griffin. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Item D, approval of the March 19th regular meeting minutes. The March 19th meeting minutes were provided to the board for review in advance of this meeting. Are there any additions or deletions? All right, seeing none, is there a motion to approve the March 19th regular meeting minutes as presented?
Griffin, so moved.
Motion by Dr. Griffin. Is there a second?
Simmons, second.
Second by Mr. Simmons. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstention? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is our official welcome of our new members. So as I said, we have Dr. Michelle Marinucci and Reverend Tim Banks aboard. I want to just turn it over to each of you and introduce yourselves. So we'll start with you, Dr. Marinucci.
Okay, I am Michelle Marinucci. I am a lifelong educator. My education career started in my childhood when I was babysitting and forcing any children I was babysitting to be my students. I then became a special education teacher, certified and officially, and absolutely loved it. I spent 27 years as an educator, teaching from the elementary, middle, high school, college, and up through the doctoral level. And meeting the needs of students is my passion, and I am absolutely honored and feel very privileged to be part of this esteemed group.
Happy, welcome, and Reverend Banks.
Yes, my name is Tim Banks, and I'm the senior pastor of the Life Center, located in Bridgeville. I've been married for going on 26 years to my girlfriend over there. In July, lifelong resident of Bridgeville, with the exception of spending time in the military and the Navy and ministry. I've been in full time ministry for, gosh, 30 years now. Worked a couple of years at Sussex Tech High School, and also at one point was a substance abuse counselor for the a Department of Correction. And I believe I met all of you online, and I too am really honored to work with you.
We're so excited to have you both on board, and what a win it is for children and educators across our state. With good news sometimes comes sad news. So before we move on to the charter school update, I did want to acknowledge that our executive director, Kathleen Smith, will be retiring, and we are devastated, retiring again, yes, devastated to lose her, but from the bottom of my heart, that's probably done. You are your kindness, your professionalism, your empathy. I'm so sad that we're losing you, but I'm so happy for you, and I know others are as well, so.
What up,
this is from the board, just a Thank token you. Of our just immense gratitude to you.
Thank you. It has been an honor. I'm excited to see where this new board is going to go. Thank you very much.
Appreciate everything.
Those are the way you can put them behind you in the link frame.
Nope. Okay.
We were at you. Well, thank you. We will, on that somber note, move on to our charter school update. Leroy Travers from the Department of Education, the director of the charter school office, is here this evening to provide updates on the work in the charter school office. Mr. Travers, thank you for your written report. Do you have other updates to share with us?
Just a couple of things before I start. Just thank you to Ms. Smith for years and years of collaboration and working together and forging just such a great relationship between our office and the state board. So thank you. Also, a welcome to Reverend Banks and Dr. Marinucci. We look forward to future years of collaboration and working together to support our charter schools. As has been practiced in the past, our office has provided some technical assistance and some professional development on the processes in which the state board is involved as it relates to charter schools. So we'll look to schedule something with any new members that haven't gone through that training in the near future. I'm not sure who we'll schedule it with, but we'll look to schedule that with someone. So, and I know Dr. Marinucci, you've been a part of these processes from this side of the table. So it'll give you a different perspective. So we'll look to schedule that in the near future. Okay. So just to add to the report that I submitted last week, today we did provide some on-site technical assistance to Brian Allen Stevenson School of Excellence as they prepare for closeout. Members of the Charter School Office, Associate Secretary Schott, Associate Secretary of Finance and Operations, Brian Ray, the Director of Exceptional Children, Dale Matusevich, was part of that group, as well as Brooke Hughes and Jed Carlson from the finance office. And we met with BASE for a couple of hours today just to go through some financial preparations as they begin their closeout, to look at student transfers as they begin that closeout, and just all other closeout items that they may face, most of which is as part of my report that I submitted. The meeting went very well, very collaborative. As an outcome of that meeting, we will be meeting with the school mostly virtually, but also in person every 2 weeks through the end of their closeout on June 30th, just to ensure student transfer, financial updates, and anything else that they may need assistance with as they wind down. So with that, I'm open to questions.
Start by thanking you I appreciate that you're meeting with them every 2 weeks. One of the things I think a few of us said at the last meeting was just making sure that every student, every educator, every family has the support in this next step. So I appreciate that you're following through on that.
Certainly. And I do want to add that the individuals from BASE that are involved within their leadership are also just very student-centered and are also very focused on making sure that that their students, their outgoing students, have every resource available to them that they might need.
Other questions from the board? Okay, anything else?
Oops. I just really quickly, just curious. I know in your report, it talks about the students going back into their home districts, but it also talks about if there were no seats available, wouldn't they just automatically go back into their feeder pattern?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, the seats available references only in reference to school choice. So if a student lives in the Indian River District, they want to go to, say, Del Mar. That's the only time that would come into play.
Okay.
Sure.
Other questions from the board? Anything else, Mr. Travers? All right, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We'll move on to item four, regulations. For a professional standards board regulations for discussion and or action, we will welcome the chair of the professional standards board, Casey Montanay, filling in this evening for executive director Bradshaw. She will review two regulations for action and present two regulations for information. Ms. Montanay.
Thank you. As was stated, I'm Casey Montanay, chair of the Delaware Professional Standards Board. If it pleases the board, I'm going to discuss 1526 and 1527 together, as they're both new regulations. The Professional Standards Board seeks the assent of the State Board of Education for Regulation 1526, Contractor Permit, and 1527, Student Support Personnel Permit. Both regulations were published on March 1st, 2026. 1526 received no comment, and 1527 received three comments, which have all been provided to you. The PSB met on April 1st, and we deliberated on the comments from 1527, and the board agreed that the regulation allows for professional growth pathways, and we discussed the comment that there should be a sentence added which requires individuals to work under the supervision of a licensed professional. The board found that while adding the requirement was reasonable, it was not critically necessary at this time, and two reasons were discussed. The first is that the supervisors of these positions are already required to be licensed professionals. And second, we found that as this is a new regulation, we anticipate that we're going to need modifications shortly after we deploy this, and then the requirement could be added if it's seen as a need moving forward. Are there any questions?
Questions on the regulations from anyone? Okay, seeing no questions, is there a motion regarding regulations 1526 and 1527?
Just before a motion, when I'm looking at the agenda, it says 1526 is for action, but 1527 is for information. Are we moving in both for action?
Misprint on the keyboard.
On yours, I got it on.
Apologies for the misprint on e-board.
Okay. All right. So they're both correct.
So is there a motion regarding regulations 1526 and 1527?
Griffin, I move that we approve regulations 1526 and 1527 as presented.
Motion by Dr. Griffin. Is there a second?
Marinucci, I second.
Dr. Marinucci seconds. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Now we'll move on to two regulations published on April 1st, Regulation 1571 and Regulation 1573. Back to you, Ms. Montanay.
Thank you. So 1571 is special education teacher of students with disabilities, and 1573 is teacher of students with autism or students with severe intellectual disabilities. Both of these regulations have been amended to add reciprocity for those who hold special education license from another state. This has been a sticking point for some time, and we know that we're dealing with a lot of special education teacher shortages, which is one of the reasons we started talking about these regs. But several of our surrounding states do not require special education teachers to also be certified in a content area, and Delaware cannot issue a special education certificate without one. The board actually received three separate petitions to revisit this requirement, and then we voted on these amendments after several months of discussion. In addition, 1573 has an additional amendment which states that a person who passes a praxis that covers fundamental content in all four core areas, math, science, ELA, and social studies, could hold 1573 as a standalone certificate without a content area certificate, provided that they had met the educational requirements. These teachers are often required to teach essential curricular elements from all four of those areas, and this is why the board believes that it made sense to add in that provision. Are there any questions about either of those?
The board? All right, seeing none, thank you so much, Ms. Montanay.
Thank you.
We have additional regulations for consideration today from the Delaware Department of Education. So we have Rosie Morales, Education Associate for School Climate and Discipline, who will review one Department of Education regulation for action that she had presented to the board at the February meeting. Ms. Morales, welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I am pleased to present the final order for Regulation 612 regarding the possession, use, or distribution of drugs or alcohol. And as mentioned, this regulation was presented as a proposed in February. And one comment was received from the State Council for Persons with Disabilities, and it was in support of the proposed amendments, and no additional comments were submitted. I am happy to answer any questions from the board.
Any questions from the board? Okay, hearing none. Is there a motion regarding Regulation 612?
Griffin, I move that we approve Regulation 612 as presented.
Motion by Dr. Griffin. Is there a second?
Simmons, second.
Second by Mr. Simmons. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Morales. Have a good evening. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to item 4C, public comment on regulations. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for public comment on regulations. Ms. Smith, do we have anyone signed up for public comment on regulations?
No, we do not.
Okay. We'll move on to item 5 on the agenda, the Secretary's report. That's Secretary Martin.
Wow, fast. You guys done, Mr. President.
Part of this requirement we need. So.
You're just trying to impress on the
Yeah.
They're definitely not all this.
You have my written report, but I'd like to just give some more context to it. I'm going to start where our work is most urgent and always important, which is literacy. If I go too long without talking about kids or literacy, you should ask if I'm okay, because we're so focused on it. And so is the whole state, because we need to get results. Everything we're doing as a department is anchored in this reality that too many of our students are not yet reading on grade level, and that has to change. We can't just keep talking about it. We actually have to do things. And so our strategy is very clear. How are we going to do this? It's by improving strong tier one instruction. Tier one instruction is what's happening in classrooms every single day. And that instruction has to be in an aligned system and has to have a relentless focus on implementation across all of our classrooms. That's the only way you improve. There's no silver bullet. There's no quick fix. There's no outside solution. There's high quality instructional materials matter. Science reading laws matter. Investment matters. Implementation in the classroom is the most important thing. So we're seeing that work take shape across the system in conversations and in observations that I've been making. I can see it. And earlier this week, I got to honor 93 outstanding seniors as the Secretary of Education Scholars. President Sheehan gave a very inspiring speech about his wish for students is that they have success. And when they have failure, they know what to do with that failure. Okay. Super inspiring. The students represent what's possible when our strategic plan is put into action, when strong instruction paired with strong support along with high expectations come together over time. And the fact that 93 students got recognized shows that Delaware knows how to do it. We have 142,000 students that all deserve that type of recognition. And that happens through the right aligned supports. So at the same time, we're strengthening the system around students, our special ed educator workforce that was also in the report I submitted to you this month. We had 586 educators received targeted stipends in high need schools and subject areas. That's about stability, that's about retention, that's connected to building block number two, self-safe and supportive environments for students, students' learning conditions or teachers' working conditions. We want strong pipelines and we want to invest in our supports for teachers. Ultimately, it's about ensuring students have consistent access to strong teaching every day by supporting teacher pipeline. We're also seeing what it looks like in building block three around great teaching and learning, what happens when the system's aligned around college and career readiness. At APO High School this week, I got to present the Launch Into Your Future Award, recognizing a model of equitable career-connected learning. Their work at APO is reflecting what we're building statewide, students graduating with real options. You're either enlisted, enrolled, or employed when you leave Delaware Public Schools. You have real experiences, real momentum, and into what comes next, and you have choices in front of you. Choices are not being made for you in a counselor's office where you're being sorted into. You look like your college material. You look like your workforce. No, you have choices, enrolled, employed, or enlisted. And all of those choices are for you to make because you have many opportunities. So I like to see the work going to scale, and we get to see that work going to scale later this month. And you're all invited to this. Many of you will probably join us at the Delaware Navigating Delaware Pathway Summit, where you can join educators, employers, and workforce partners. That's where we focus on strengthening the connection between classrooms and careers, because the pathways only matter if they come to a real outcome for students, or it's a pathway to nowhere instead of to a real job and a real paying job. We're also continuing to work, the work that underpins all of this is a funding system that is in alignment to how we fund our schools. So later this month, you will see on April 27th, the Public Education Funding Commission is going to meet to vote on recommendations for a new hybrid funding formula. That's critical work because fair opportunities for every child depends on how we align the resources with the students' needs. I want to recognize what we're seeing in our schools. This year's recognition schools reflect strong student performance, growth, and progress, especially for our multilingual learners. These are schools where instruction is working, where leadership is focused, and where students are moving. That's the goal. I don't want random acts of good work happening in some schools someday, sometimes, because it just sort of magically happened. I want not isolated success, but system-wide progress. So I'd love to recognize schools that are doing that in a sustained way. And then earlier today, I'm wearing purple because it's a military color. I had the opportunity to recognize several Delaware schools that were earning the Purple Star designation, schools that are intentionally designed to support our military connected students and their families. What stood out to me is that this wasn't just a program. This was like a mindset that the schools have, and they're able to support students that have lots of instability in their life because of the military-connected nature of their family. Stability is not guaranteed, but what these schools have built is systems to ensure that mobility does not get in the way and disrupt their learning and their outcomes. They've built the right systems. All of that's directly tied back to the strategic plan, safe and supportive schools, strong teaching and learning, families as partners, because students can't reach high outcomes if they're constantly starting over. So these schools are showing what it looks like when we design around their actual realities. It's the kind of work we need to see at scale. So when I step back, the question is simple. Are we moving outcomes or not? By 2028, we're aiming to move third grade reading from 38% proficient on the SBEC to 53%, aiming to reduce chronic absenteeism to 13%, increase graduation to 91%, and expand access to early learning to 40% for families. Those are some key metrics. There are many more metrics. Know that we are tracking leading and lagging indicators, but we know what our North Stars are, and we are managing, tracking, and reporting towards those so we can see the investments being put to work. So everything you hear tonight, literacy, workforce, pathways, funding, all of it is aligned to get us there, and not separate random and acts that maybe we get somewhere, maybe we don't. We're clear on the vision and where we're going, and we're going to measure it. It's not about doing more. It's about doing what works and doing it consistently at scale with daily urgency and disciplined implementation. That's the work. That's the direction. And I'm honored to be doing it every single day here.
Amazing. Thank you. Questions for Secretary Martin from the board?
Yes, I have a comment and then a question. The comment is, as a former member of the Christina School District Board of Education, I was pleased to look at the list and see seven of those schools recognized were Christina schools. This question is, maybe you can answer it, I'm sure you can, probably in a longer conversation. As I think about the work that's being done in the department, I'm always asking myself, how can it be connected to work that's happening in the community? I think about the work that I do in other areas of my life. And education has always been spoken about, whether it's in fraternity, your church, we're always asking questions about how can we be engaged. Do you, as the Secretary of Education, see opportunities for community entities to kind of come alongside, especially I think the low-hanging fruit is in places like literacy and
yes.
that kind of thing, helping kids read. Are there opportunities for that? And how are those connections
yeah.
best made?
That's really important. I just finished a call with Michelle from United Way this afternoon, and one of the big funders, I don't know if I should be saying who we were talking to, but anyway, maybe not. But Michelle, one of the funders, and this has to be a full ecosystem approach. This can't be random, scattered investments that are kind of all separate and one-off. And so what Michelle is doing with Get Delaware Reading and that approach is a collective impact approach that's organizing the entire ecosystem around some big goals and not separate. Every funder that's funding one of the nonprofits in Delaware has its own little, if we give you money, you're going to make this happen. We're going to get to 53% SBAC reading. Like, that's what we're doing. And the state has put $25 million into the state's investment on literacy. And we're managing the $8 million bridge to practice grants that are going out to the schools right now or to improve instruction in the classroom. That's not enough. Just instruction. You can't do it without improving instruction in the classroom. But then what happens in the summer? Some kids can learn, lose 2 to 3 months of reading achievement in the summer. So in the collective impact approach that, for example, United Way is doing, all of the different groups that can work on summer reading, as one example, there are investments that can be made in those kinds of programs. Are those state investments or are those philanthropic investments? As long as they're coordinated in a whole of state approach and not random and separate. This funder was very happy to hear that there's a state plan. There hasn't been a state plan. And so to say that we're all rowing in the same direction, what part are you going to play? There's not one nonprofit summer reading program that's funded, say, for $200,000, that's going to say, we give $200,000 to that program to do this thing this summer, and all of a sudden, Delaware's reading achievement turned around. That doesn't happen in one summer program with one $200,000 investment. That happens with the work every day in the classrooms, the principal leadership, the school leadership, the improvement in the classroom, the coaching in the classroom, and multiple programs in the communities. We don't move without the communities. We move with the community work and the investment there. Let's be clear on what the outcomes are.
Okay. I appreciate that. And I think that the work that's being done by the United Way of Delaware is laudable. Sometimes my concern is that there can be almost a bottleneck kind of that happens. One of the things you talked about was needing multiple members of the community being active and engaged. So I look forward to, and I've talked to Michelle quite often, so I look forward to some of those conversations and how we can ensure that we're touching it in all of the places that we can, whether it is school buildings, faith-based entities, whoever has a desire. I think one of the things that I keep hearing in the frustration when I'm being asked about those kinds of things is, who do I talk to? I know many other, whether they are community entities or faith-based entities, to say, I've been trying to just ask the school across the street, what do you need?
How
can we help? And being gatekept out of even, I can't get past the secretary to kind of figure out, we literally have resource that we want to bring, whether it's people resource or otherwise, how can we put our hands to that work? And sometimes, depending on the size of the entity that you're bringing, even the larger entities that are trying to corral all of the resources may miss some of those things. So I thought I came to my mind tonight, so I figured I'd ask the question.
Yeah, it's a really important point. How do we find a meaningful contribution that everybody can make to turn this around? The governor declared a literacy emergency. Think about that. When a governor declares an emergency, it's usually for, you know, a hurricane, a natural disaster. And when there's a declared state of emergency, like during the snowstorms and the ice storms, what happens? Churches have a role to play. Mm-hmm. Department of Transportation, DEMA, every state agency has roles to play during a natural disaster emergency declared by the governor. And things move and things have to happen. there's lead agencies during a snowstorm or lead agencies during a hurricane. During a literacy emergency, I'll humbly submit the lead agency is probably Department of Education, but we're not the only ones. The entire state, and in the governor's cabinet meetings, in a governor's cabinet retreat, in fact, in December, we talked about across government, what is everybody's role in each government agency to address the literacy emergency in the kids department? When they do home visits, are they checking for food insecurity and clothing and other safety mechanisms? Are they also checking for other books in this home? That's what a literacy emergency requires, a whole state approach. And I think you're asking the right question is how does everybody, that our faith-based groups, our small, tiny nonprofits that have $25,000 budgets, they want to use that budget to do something. Where is the place for them to contribute to the bigger picture? Because not one group is going to solve this on its own. Mm-hmm. And so how do you marshal those resources? So I was a Girl Scout for my whole life. Had my own Girl Scout troop when I was in college, earned the Gold Award, took people at camping, put me for a Girl Scout over there, Scouts Honor. I took kids camping. And when you're, if you stay out too late and you're trying to get back to the tent at night and you have flashlights and you're trying to figure out how to get back to the campground and you hand the flashlight out to 25-year-olds, you're never going to get back to the campground because they're looking at the bugs and they're looking, oh, there's a deer over there, and they're looking off. But if you take all the flashlights and you point them in one direction, you get that laser focus. I don't know if this analogy is working, but I come up with crazy analogies sometimes. But that's the idea, is how do we laser focus all of these red? They're points of light. And Delaware has all of these beautiful points of light, but everyone's just holding the flashlight up to the sky and it just gets diffuse. And if I can play a role as Secretary of Education, I'll bring those flashlights together and keep the laser focus and collect up who wants to do what part of it. You do this part, you do this part. Sure. And everybody has a part to play towards what? What are we trying to get? How will we know we're successful? So no one person or entity or organization claims we solved it. Our $100,000 grant to that nonprofit over there turned around Delaware's reading. It's not gonna how it's going to get turned around. But you're going to say, I was a part of that because this was the part that I did. I brought 30 kids together every Saturday in my community at my church, and we did this reading program. And because we understood this is what this community needed. So how I can organize that and marshal that, let me know where I can be of help for that, because I'm here for it.
Thank you.
If I can piggyback, I just want to, in the other hat that I wear around the city of Wilmington, we're trying to make sure that all of the literacy programs align and support the work of United Way, in this case with the Summer Slide and their Get Delaware Reading. Obviously you and I have both spoken about the Home Library Project.
Yes.
And so that aligns with making sure the research supports that. Just having books in the house supports literacy, because if you don't have them, there's no chance of reading.
Right.
And so that project, just trying to make sure that all of those community members that are willing to support don't get into a mindset of like pick me over them versus this program or that program, or this program is going to support the bigger picture of what's happening here. And Reading Assist aligns with that as well. So
that's
getting all those partners to align.
Talk to all the partners, say, this is your part. This is your part. You don't have to fight with each other.
That's right.
There's scarce resources. I get it. But that's where leadership matters, that we can say, I see where you fit in the big ecosystem. This is your part to play.
Yeah, I just thought it was important that you hear that's the conversation we're having.
That.
I don't know that anybody, any one entity that I have ever come across wants to do everything, but everybody wants to do something. And I think the part that I feel, and this is Griffin, the part that I feel can be missing sometimes is, using your analogy, tell me where to point my flashlight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Orient me in the right direction. Just the information you
gave,
how is that information disseminated so that those who want to ensure that they can be part of that effort can jump on that effort with whatever resource they can bring to it. Don't make me go to my other place, but the widow's mite, right? This is all I got, but I'm going to give you what I got, because I think that that will help the broader effort. So that's today. That's what I'm trying to figure out. How can, when I'm not sitting here in this context, but I'm in my broader context, how can I use what I know here to bring all of those resources to bear on an issue that impacts every citizen of the state of Delaware, whether they understand it or not, whether you have kids in the system, out of the system, or no kids at all. Every kid in the system, child, excuse me, in the system, will impact your quality of life as a Delaware citizen. So we all ought to be taking this seriously. And I think there are quite a few people who are literally just saying, show me how to point my life.
That's right.
Where do I need to point my life?
So if I can jump on that with, and I like the flashlight analogy, looking at this list, there's a number of schools, different demographics, different locations across the state. We're hitting all the counties. We're hitting, you know, some are rural, some are the more urban schools, and they're all showing success in some way. I think there would be value, and I don't know, this may already be happening, but I know from my time as a school leader, oftentimes you're feeling more siloed, like you're just trying to figure it out and looking for the data. But if there was a way to come together with these, with the leaders and the teachers, and maybe even the students and the families, and say, why? Why did it work here? What do you feel worked? And take and look for those commonalities and then try and spread them to other schools and maybe even take some of these more successful schools. I mean, there's many elementary schools in Christina. Look at the seven that made the list and partner them up with others that didn't and say, here's what worked here. It's not saying this will work everywhere, but these are some of the strategies that did work, that we're seeing a difference. And then like we'll spread the wealth and shine the flashlight on the right things instead of us taking the time as school leaders looking for what will work.
Yeah.
Let's put together some things that this did work. And it may not be the curriculum. It may not be, you know, it could be just that teacher has that connection with that group of students. And
but you can name that.
But
what it is, yeah.
Right. But I think it's asking multiple people, not just the school leader, not just the curriculum director, not just the teachers, but asking them collectively, why do you think you saw these results? And then taking that data and running with it, spreading it.
That's a theory of action that I've used now for probably 25 years ago. I learned about it by a man named Jerry Sternin. I should get you guys the article to read it because I think you'd appreciate it. It's the theory of action is called positive deviance, what you're describing. And it's deviant behavior, meaning it's different from the norm and it yields positive results. And he used it as a medical doctor sent by the United States government to Vietnam to eradicate malnutrition in Vietnam in 6 months. How are you going to eradicate malnutrition in 6 months? The way he did it is he found a village in Vietnam with low child nutrition rates and or high malnutrition rates. And he found in the first village, 3% of the kids were well-nourished. How did they do it? In this village with no resources, no money, you're saying like the one friend did, how'd you do it? So
right.
Once he figured out how they did it, that he identified five things those families were doing.
Replicate.
Water from a pond that was considered dirty by the rest of the villagers. They thought that pond was dirty. He did the scientific analysis of the pond and it had tiny microscopic shrimp with protein. There were four other things that he identified that they did, pre-local there. Some families figured it out. Then he disseminated that across the rest of the village. Child nutrition, childhood malnutrition in that village, solved. Now you can't go to the next village and say, drink from that pond because they don't have that pond. Find the 5% of kids well-nourished in that village. What did you do? Replicate scale. That's what you're describing here. It's a great, that was to child, you know, it ended up being the World Hunger Organization. It turned into a major approach. He was able to do it, but it was ground up. What is already working? Similar conditions, replicate scale. That's how Delaware moves. You've just named the whole positive deviance approach. So I'll share the article with you. You'll love it.
So I'm not just saying this because you positively phrased what Dr. Renucci said, but I had a note for like the exact same thing. And even to the point where I'm wondering, should we as a board invite at every meeting one of these folks to come present here and create an online archive of those presentations so that we have a collection on our site? Like, I think that's, we have folks in our state doing the work at a high level. I attach myself to those comments because it's perfect. So I was going to just build on what you said. And then on a different topic, and you don't need to address this tonight, but at some point I'd love for someone from the department to come back. I saw on Facebook this week that the department posted that, I guess, I don't know if there was a new inventory or measurement, but we have about 3,700 children who are homeless in our state, in our schools. And I would love to know what is being done, how we can help, and just as a kind of collection to address the needs of those children. I just think it's a measure of our society, how we lift them up. And so I saw that number and it struck me just because it was
the number of a week, the number of the
I guess so. Yeah,
it's
it
something
was,
new. We started to start
yeah,
putting data out there.
it was just higher than I guess I would have imagined. And so it stuck with me since I saw it. And
Sure.
so not for tonight, but at some point if DOE can come back and present on that,
Absolutely.
it has stuck with me since I saw it.
Yep, absolutely. That's what that number of the week was meant to do,
Yeah.
sort of a conversation.
Other questions or comments from board members? All right. Thank you so much, Secretary Martin.
My pleasure.
Next, item six, State Board business. We have 6A, a legislative update for information during legislative session. We have this item on our agenda to give board members an opportunity to ask questions or raise discussion about education-related bills. We have Donna Harris-Akins, Associate Secretary of Government and External Affairs, to provide information. Thank you as always.
Absolutely. Great to see you all. So this week, everyone's back in, or the General Assembly is back in session. I did want to highlight for you all that there are a couple of bills that the General Assembly is considering that the agency proposed, and they are moving through. All of our bills thus far are we consider to be technical fixes. So for example, HB 261. We discovered in just in regular course of business that we in code don't have the authority to regulate around public school transportation. So, we're trying to fix that. So we're just finding things like that as we are reviewing regs, reviewing other things. We get inquiries, just regular course of business. So as we find those, we are literally building a list of what we believe to be technical fixes that should move, that should adjust the code. And we are proposing those to the General Assembly. So just wanted to, I don't think I've ever said that before. So I just wanted to flag that and can, if you would prefer, can also delineate which bills those are in future reports, but did want to flag that we've got some technical fixes moving through in addition to the other things.
Questions from the board about any legislative items? Yes.
I know Vice President Stevens raised this concern last month, and I wanted to ask for a clarification or if there's any progress on the status of her question last meeting. We spoke about the possibility of adding a second member to the Delaware State Board of Education. What is the, sorry, student member to the Delaware State Board of Education? What is the status of the possibility of that becoming a reality? Are we currently in the planning process? Where are we within that, if anywhere?
We are, one, we have had discussions inside of the agency about what that could look like. The current status is that it sits with the board about moving forward. If the decision is made to move forward, then we will talk to the governor's office. We can write legislation, I think, pretty quickly, and we'll, see what happens this session.
We would need to like make a formal request.
No, I'm saying you joined, you are the new, leader of the board. So I was looking for a signal that the current board wants, the current configuration of the board wants to move forward with that recommendation.
Vote on that next month. We can have a conversation and maybe prepare something for a vote next month. Does that work?
Absolutely.
Okay. Other questions on legislative items? All right. Thank you so much, as always. We'll move on to item B, the FY27 meeting calendar. This is for action. The FY27 meeting calendar was provided to the board for review in advance of this meeting. Are there any questions or comments on the proposed calendar of meetings? All right, seeing none, is there a motion regarding, or is there a motion to approve the FY27 meeting calendar as presented?
Marinucci, I make a motion to approve as presented.
Thank you, Dr. Marinucci. Is there a second?
Second, Simmons.
Okay, motion was made by Dr. Marinucci, seconded by Mr. Simmons. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Item C, the preliminary FY27 budget items. This is also for action. The board will have a discussion at this point and approve its full budget at the July meeting after the governor signs the FY27 budget bill. But the Delaware Department of Education financial process timelines require pre-approval for a few items in the budget that have a July 1 start date or a July 1 payment due date. These include our e-board subscription and a July 1 contract with one of our three hearing officers, keeping in mind that we will discuss the full budget in July once signed by the governor. Are there any questions about the preliminary items that I just mentioned? Right. Well, we need to take a vote, as I mentioned, in order to meet those two requirements for July 1. So is there a motion to approve the preliminary budget items as presented?
Seven, so moved.
Motion by Mr. Simmons. Is there a second?
Marinucci, seven.
Second by Dr. Marinucci. Any discussion on those two items? All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Moving on to item D, the committee and meeting reports. In a moment, we'll have an opportunity for a discussion on board priorities, but first, there was an opportunity for members to provide information in written reports made available on eBoard on any events or committee meetings attended since the last meeting. Would anyone like to share anything? Yes, Mr. Gunter.
You will have my report in front of you as always. However, I would like to briefly go over it. First, I have an announcement to the members of the class of 2027 and 2028. The student member of the Delaware State Board of Education application has been released. It is going to be due on April 30th. Any interested students, I highly encourage that you apply. As a reminder, there are rounds of one, submitting the application, two, having interviews, and then out of the interview finalists, the governor will appoint his final appointee. So that is something definitely to look at. It is posted on the Delaware State Board of Education's website and accessible. If you have any questions, please feel free to email us here. Now, on to some of the events of this month that I've participated in. Actually, the day after our last meeting, I had the opportunity to join the Delaware Charter School Network for their Delaware Charter School Convention that was hosted at the Early College Charter School at DSU, which was an amazing opportunity. I joined their Youth Advisory Council on a panel to speak to educators on various topics throughout the conference, as well as engage them on why the youth voice is so important. Next, moving on to the Delaware Youth and Government Conference, I had the opportunity to attend the 50th Delaware Youth and Government Conference alongside Governor Matt Meyer and Chief Justice Colin Shites, or States, sorry. During that
Thanks.
Sites, thank you. During that event, we spoke to students about the importance of civic engagement, the role of them in government, as well as the opportunity to speak to them about why it is so important that we understand the legislative and legal processes in our time. Now, moving on to something that I will be participating into tomorrow, the AI Assurance Lab Steering Committee. I've been invited to participate in that with the Department of Education. I will be there representing the student voice in that conversation tomorrow, so I'm very excited for that. Looking to some future events, of course, as Secretary Martin mentioned, the PEFC will be meeting in 2 weeks to go over our final recommendation to the State Assembly. That will incur five separate votes, and then that will be presented, of course, to the legislature within the coming weeks. In 2 weeks, I will be traveling with a delegation from the department to two various business marketing finance competitions, the Delaware, or not Delaware, the DECA International Career Development Conference and the Business Professionals of America National Leadership Conference, respectively. During those conferences, I will have the opportunity to actually meet with my counterparts, the student members of other state boards of education, as well as meet with College Board about some of the programs they are rolling out, as well as various other curriculum organizations. And then moving on to the final part of my report. On a personal note, one thing that I did want to share with the board is that I have committed to college. I have committed to The Hampton University to double major in political science and AI. I will be headed down to Hampton Roads, Virginia in 124 days to begin the beginning of 10 years of education, or furthering my education, rather. So I am excited for the opportunity to join that institution and continue my education. Now, as we come into the final months of my term, one thing that I do want to reaffirm is my commitment to serving Delaware students. I currently have 63 days left in office, and I will ensure that every single one of those is spent serving our students to the best of my ability. Their voices, their thoughts, and their perspectives are truly valued and matter in every conversation that we have. They are our primary stakeholder, which is why I will do my best to represent them every day. Thank you.
You set the bar high for the student who's coming in next. I have two updates to share with the group. First, as Secretary Martin mentioned, I joined her and others at the Secretary Scholars dinner, and just extraordinary, the students who the 93 students who were honored, and I'm sure many more who just are doing such amazing things. So congratulations to them, to their educators, to their families, school leaders. It was really a special evening. I also had the chance to visit two schools this month. I went to Del Mar High School. That was my 19th of 19 districts. So now I've been to all of them, and the folks at Del Mar were really incredibly kind. I saw amazing teaching and learning going on. It was just so impressive what I saw there. So I don't know if they're watching, we'll see this, but congratulations to them on the great work that they and their teams are doing. And I know they have some needs as far as capital that they were walking me through. And I'm looking forward to getting back down there soon, because it was just a really wonderful visit. Similarly, I went to Cape Ham Open High School after that, another really amazing visit. I got to walk the building, got to see my former seventh grade English teacher, is an educator there. He's also my high school baseball coach, someone who had an extraordinary impact on my life. And it was great to be able to walk into his classroom and see him. And Cape, similar to Del Mar, is also enrolled to the point where they are having to kind of navigate the fact that they have such a large number of students in that building. And again, thinking through sort of the capital process on their end. So I really appreciate both those teams walking me through their buildings, the educators who let me crash their classrooms and talk to their students. It's one of the best parts of this job, getting to be in school. So I appreciate that and look forward to some more visits hopefully soon.
I don't have a report, but I do have two things I wanted to use any time I have here to highlight. First, I know that Tyler still has some time with us, but he has continued a line of outstanding student members. You are the third student member of the board since, I guess, in the 2 years I've been on the board. And the selection process has done a great job in selecting outstanding student representatives here on the board, who have all taken the role that they've been tasked with very seriously. As a graduate of Hampton University, I'm excited that you have made the decision to attend the best HBCU in the world. That's my unbiased opinion. and I believe that you're outstanding there and in your naval career once you are commissioned as an officer following your time at Hampton. And then I just wanted to say to our retiring executive director, Kathleen Smith, I am grateful to have had the opportunity to serve with you. It has been phenomenal. The level of professionalism that you have brought to the role sets a standard for whoever may come into the role after you. From your reaching out to me when I was simply a nominee, to walking me through the onboarding process, and then ensuring that we as a state board have all of the things that we need, both for the meeting and inter-meeting. It has been outstanding. And so I wish you a very fruitful retirement and all the things that you do. You have earned it. And I'm sure that since this is Delaware and it's as big as a Wawa cup, not the last time our paths will cross. So thank you.
And I'd like to piggyback on those sentiments. When I went to NASB's New Member Institute, one of the questions we asked was, how was your onboarding? And I said, your onboarding is only as good as your support system. And so, Kathleen, thank you for my onboarding. Driving up, I remember we met at Starbucks and she threw all the paperwork and the process and all these things. But more importantly, anytime there's a question, there were times I struggled with my current role and am I allowed to levy that information into this role? I always felt comfortable saying, Kathleen, does this make sense? Am I allowed to do this? Should I not say this? I don't know that I can recall any time where she either didn't pick up immediately or didn't call back immediately. And so I appreciate that. As a retiree, I'm going to say welcome to the good side of work. Like there's a part of work that we do, and nobody tells us that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I'm here to tell you that that light is not a train. And so welcome to the other side. It's not the dark side. Welcome to the other side.
I'm going to jump on that too, Kathleen, because I will say, as a school leader, when I was a school leader and had the hosting of the state board, the communication from that side was every bit as phenomenal. So thank you for that, because I know the coordination that goes into making sure everything's right. And then for the really amazing welcoming experience as I come on and you retire. But thank you.
Please do not change your number.
Any other comments from board members?
I'd like to say something to Mr. Gunter, right?
Spencer, yes.
Gunter. You really epitomize student voice. And I was sharing with Chantel, I listened to the last board meeting. And I said to her, I said, that student's going somewhere.
Absolutely.
And to sit and hear you speak and hear you represent the next generation or the current generation, they're in good hands. And it's just a pleasure being here. I was thinking to myself when I came here, I was like, what am I even doing here? We had just had a conversation with the board concerning finances and keeping quality teachers. And Madam Secretary, you said you talked about targeted type a stipend. And it's so wonderful to know that that's happening. I just so appreciative of being here tonight. Thank you.
We're grateful to have you.
Thank you.
I did say to Tyler one-on-one, I think he deserved to hear have it out loud as well. Extremely proud of him, wish him the best of luck. I think to Dr. Griffin's point about the three members that we've had supports the concept of our next student member should be able to learn from our current at the same time. And I think that it makes the transition easier because the first couple of months, and maybe Tyler can speak to that, like you're trying to get your feet wet and trying to figure it out. And then all of a sudden you got to hit the ground running. And then next thing you know, you got 63 days left, right? And so I think that work of not only he, but the students that are preceded him speaks to why do we only have one, right?
Absolutely. And I'm going to piggyback off of that. One of the great opportunities that I have as a student member is to meet with my folks across the country. Every month we sit down and we go over what's happening within our respective boards. One thing that I can say coming into all of this is that those that have another student member were more prepared at the very beginning of their term. There's various states, I believe there's, I want to say, three or four that do have two members. And those particular members from the beginning, because they have someone that's with them, that's been through it, that understands where they are able to get on and go very quickly. Whereas being the student member here, I've been in this realm of leadership and of working in governmental relations, et cetera, for the last 4 years. However, it's a very different role. And most students are not going to have that experience or that, I guess, oversight of understanding what the board does at a deeper level before they get here. So I believe having that second member is going to not only the student member to learn quicker, but also it's going to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of this particular member. We didn't get going, I want to say, until fully October. That's 4 months after my appointment. Whereas if there's another member here, we could have been going at 100% capacity, probably in August.
So just confirming with Kathleen that at our May meeting, I would propose that we have an agenda item that is to make the formal recommendation of a second board member.
Perfect.
All right, anything else for committee and meeting reports? We'll move on to item E, priorities discussion. Each regular meeting agenda will have a specific presentation and/or discussion aligned with our five board priorities, plus opportunity for discussion on initiatives. So one of the things we've talked about a little bit is the need for, in the way that the department modeled having a strategic plan with deliverables, the need for the board to have a strategic plan also. Before I got here, there were proposals that were sent in. I believe those were all distributed. I would love if folks feel ready tonight to vote on that, to move forward. I also understand we have two new members, so it's not something where it's like I'm gonna, dig my feet on this one, but I think it'd be great to move forward so that we can really do this work. I mean, like we were talking about earlier, how can the board play a role in spotlighting the great work of schools here? So I'll just open the floor if folks want to share they're ready to vote tonight. If not, if there's a bigger proposal that folks felt good about or not, but I will kind of step back and see what how folks want to take this one.
I think I would defer to our two new members. I don't know how much time they've had to dig into those. I do feel, though, that we've been kicking this can down the road for some time now. And I think the sooner we can get that done, and I'll link it to our budget, we have a budget item that talks about board initiatives, and that pot of money has been unused. And so oftentimes we talk about what you're really serious about gets funded. So now we're really serious about something that we're funded, that we're funded, and we're not doing anything about it. So oftentimes you can think about, like, if you're not using it, does it get taken away? And so we've got to be careful as we keep. And again, I'm kicking the can seems negative. I don't mean that in a negative sense, meaning we keep delaying. And I would just like to see something moving forward, right? And so that's kind of where I feel, how I feel about where we are.
I did have time to review the three proposals, so I would feel comfortable having that conversation.
Sure.
Yeah, was there all open up to everyone? Was there one that folks felt rose to the top of the three that were submitted?
Don't make me lie about which one, but or to my other notebook.
I think all three were impressive, I would say. I think all three give us the flexibility. I know that you had mentioned, making sure that we could make this what we want it to be and not kind of it take a right turn from that. I think all three do provide us that flexibility. There was one that I thought rose to the top, but if folks want to weigh in and share one that they think is really strong, I want that to certainly lead the conversation.
I feel comfortable that any of the three could get done. We're asked to get done. We guide the process.
Any others want to weigh in on a specific proposal?
I did have one, I
Yeah.
just don't remember the name, and I'm looking in my email right now.
So there's UD, DSU, and PMG.
PMG, that's it. I knew it was three
Yeah.
letters. I had a preference for PMG. As I was reading through the proposals, I thought, and it could be just their presentation spoke to experience to me that they've done some of this work. Not the other ones kind of said, we can do these things, where I thought that PMG said, we have done these things. And so that resonated with me. And so.
I think Deb said the same thing regarding that as well. Don't want to speak for her.
Does anyone want to weigh in on any other proposals, or do we feel that someone will make a motion on that proposal?
I move that we accept PMG's proposed and move forward with them as our consultant for strategic plans.
A motion made by Dr. Griffin. Is there a second?
Second, Simmons.
Second by Mr. Simmons. Any discussion? All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries to reach out to PMG and consult with them. All right. Thank you so much. At this point, we will move on to item seven, formal public comment. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for general public comment. Ms. Smith, is there anyone signed up to provide public comment?
Yes.
Right. We will hear from speakers from the sign-up sheet who are present in the meeting room first, and then we will recognize speakers logged in via the URL in order that they have signed up in the chat box. Comments should be limited to 2 minutes for individuals and 3 minutes for organizations. As a reminder, the board typically will not respond to questions or engage in a dialogue with those offering comments during the board meeting. Who do we have signed
we
up?
We have one person signed up in the room, and that is Kendall Massett from the Delaware Charter Schools Network.
Welcome, Ms. Massett.
Good evening. I'm Kendall Massett, the very proud executive director of the Delaware Charter Schools Network. I'm very proud of this gentleman right here. I think we talked about this, but my family's from I have family in Hampton. And I've been going to Hampton like every year since I was little. So good choice, kiddo. I also have another student in the room. He's the new secretary for our student advisory council. So I'm proud I got two charter students in the room. I wanted to give some shout outs today. So first off, Secretary Martin was giving an award to one of our schools, Providence Creek Academy. This is their second Purple Star. And so the Purple Star is once every 3 years. Please, if you have time, go see what they're doing at any of the three schools that have the Purple Star, but I can speak to what they're doing at Providence Creek Academy and how they are supporting military connected youth and their families. It's incredible. And I guarantee that you will leave there inspired just from that. They got a lot of other things going on, but from that in general, that would be great for you to see. Another shout out, Xavier Lawrence. He is an advocate for the visually impaired, and he is a senior at Early College School. Anybody that goes to Joint Finance Committee knows he comes in, he advocates at the Joint Finance Committee, but he also advocates for things across the state. And in Wilmington, there's a need for they call it a accessible pedestrian signal right outside of the train station in Wilmington. And he advocated successfully to get that to be there for our community members that need more assistance there. And he did that. We're very proud. Two last things. One, we had over 400 educators at CharterCon on March 20th, and we had incredible student helpers, volunteers that helped us make that an incredible day. And the secretary was gracious enough to be there and help us at the end. She drove all the way down from Wilmington to be there for the 15 minutes that we had for her and then drove back up to Wilmington. And our community, as always, was so grateful. I actually cried. I'm gonna cry now. I cried when she spoke because it was obvious that they were understood and I'm just so grateful that they saw that and know that they are wanted and valuable. So thank you for that. And finally, Dr. Griffin, if you've got resources and community members that want to give them to schools, I can help with that. Secretary Martin, there's an idea that I've been trying to get done for the last 14 years on how do we communicate with our community members and schools so that we can break down those barriers, we can shine the flashlights all in one space, and we can tie it to the strategic plan and all the things we want to get done. I'm here to do it with you. Thank you to the board. Welcome to the two members. Michelle knows me well. You'll get to know me, Reverend Banks, and that may or may not be a good thing. So thank you for your time this evening.
Is there anyone else signed up?
No.
All right. At this point, we'll move to adjournment. I just want to quickly say how happy we are for you, but also sad for us. And also just to our two new members, I think you bring such amazing perspectives to the board. And I feel very hopeful having you on board. So I'm ecstatic to be able to serve with you both. At this point, just an announcement. Our next regular meeting is on May 21st in the Townsend Building right here in Dover. At this point, is there a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
Griffin, so moved.
Motion by Dr. Griffin. Is there a second?
Simmons, second.
Second by Mr. Simmons. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. It is 6:10 p.m.
You're
and the meeting
efficient.
Is adjourned.
You are efficient. Quick one.